gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, good morning. I'm so glad to have you again here this morning. And then also to people who may be listening to the podcast, it's great that this is His Stories Broadcast. And it is just wonderful to be here. Gil, good seeing you again today.
All right. How you doing, Kevin?
You know, life is good. Every now and then you have these physical ailments, and I'm feeling like I'm 80 years old. But
really? Why is that, Kevin?
Because I did a foolish, silly thing, and I was trying to lift my, like, 150-pound dog.
He's not the lap dog.
Yeah. Dog that eats way too much. I tried to get her up and so she could have a ride, which she desperately loves. And
mm-hmm.
So anyways, but besides that, we have a big story here today with Karen. But so those in radio land, if you could pray for my back, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a great day.
It's good.
Great day. How's your world, Gil?
I'm good as well. I went to the doctor and so as a result, the next day I'm at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm feeling a little 80 myself.
Yeah.
Not from lifting a dog, but from doing a little resistance training. And we haven't worked out for a while. You feel it.
Yeah.
And the older you are, the more you feel it.
Yes.
And so, I'm still relatively young, but I'm feeling it too.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll pick up our wheelchairs on the way out
and
roll back on home after this broadcast.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Wheeling into the sunset.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and just open up in prayer, I guess, and then jump right into this broadcast. And I'm really excited about it, I guess.
Yeah, let's pray.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, we just thank you for the already there's laughter, and just give you praise for giving that to us. And Lord, we thank you for different trials that are given to us as well, because we can learn from them, and our dependency is fully on you. Lord God, I thank you that you heal us not only physically, but you heal us spiritually, and that you save our souls, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the testimony in which we're going to hear today. It's evidence. I keep saying this. We keep saying this every week, but it's evidence as to your power and your rich love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thank you for the guest this morning and her dear heart. Pray that you would just guide this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Well, man, without further ado, we have a great guest. Happens to be a friend. And she's so impressive. You have friends that are like, man, you're awesome. But that's who this is. This is Karen Baker. And we'll let her tell a little bit about herself. But, she's here today. And so welcome to the His Stories broadcast.
Thank you. This is an honor and a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Why don't you just put it on the table? Like, how did you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
How did you come to know the Lord?
Okay, well, I am actually originally from South Bend, mm-hmm. and I grew up in a denominational church here. And the church that I attended, I have a kind of an interesting salvation experience, actually, but the church I attended, they didn't really talk about salvation and so forth. They did a lot to talk about Jesus, a lot of Bible stories. And so I kind of think that I fell in love with Jesus, as a young child and the relationship that you can have with him as a young child. But then when I was probably about in fifth grade, I had a teacher that didn't quite follow the rules of the church. And she kind of let us know that we can be saved, and that if we wanted that we should let her know. And after the not during that class, but sometime later, just let her know, and she would pray with us to receive salvation.
Yeah.
And because the church, basically, it was when you get baptized, then that's when you become a member of the church. And when you're a member of the church, then they don't call it saved, but that's when they consider you're part of the member of the body of Christ, I guess.
Okay.
So I knew that I wanted to have that conversation with her, but just kind of things never really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that summer that I went to a vacation Bible school, And you have to love the Baptists because they will talk about salvation.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Not afraid of.
No.
Yeah. So one of the things that's happened over my life is that God's kind of helped me kind of get over some pride areas and stuff, because I was like, well, I'm not getting saved at the Baptist church. I'm going to get saved by my friend, you know, the lady who led the Sunday school class. And so that happened like every day. They were talking about salvation, and then we would go in a big setting, and then we would go to these classes afterwards, and we'd rotate through these classes. Well, the last class of the last day, the teacher of the class had us all put our heads down, and she had us all raise our hands. And I think most of the kids were probably from that church, but she had us all raise our hands. After, I should back up. She told this story about some kind of a ship that this older man was on and this younger boy was on. And the old man had told the boy about Jesus and salvation and recommended that he get saved. And the boy's like, oh, we just ported. I want to go. I'll do it later. I want to go, you know, into town and go do what I want to do. And then when I come back, I'll do it. Well, something happened and the boy falls off and he drowns and he doesn't have that chance to get saved. And so she tells us a story, and she doesn't want us to to lose our chance.
Yeah, kind of zoned you in.
Right. So then she has us all put our heads down and put our hands up in the air. Everyone has their hands up in the air. Now she asks, if you're already saved, put your hand down. Well, I knew I wasn't yet, and so I had my hands still up in the air. So she starts to pray for us for salvation, that we would be saved, you know? And then I'm like, okay. And, you know, it wasn't exactly feeling like I was the one, you know.
Initiating it.
Yeah. And so then she called after she had asked me to stay and released everybody else to go to the buses to go home. And I was kind of fearful, you know, not necessarily prayer, but just of situations like this. You know, in that stage of my life, I was, you know, this caused some fear to come up. So I'm like starting to cry, you know.
How old are you again?
I'm probably the end of fifth grade going into sixth grade.
Okay.
Maybe sixth grade going into seventh, 11, somewhere 12, in there. So. Yeah. And so she asks me to come up and sit next to her desk, and so I do that, and she tells me, well, you're crying because you're repenting of your sins. And,
I am?
No.
I'm just scared of you.
This
that's
is not what I expected today. And, you know, and who knows? God's a good guy. There could have been some of that anyway.
Right.
But
yeah.
I went home that day, and she did recommend that, you know, next step would be to get baptized and so forth. So I went home, and I talked to my mom, and I told her about it. And she said, you know, she could tell I already really loved Jesus. And she said, I think you were probably really already saved even before that. even though I hadn't necessarily prayed the prayer, so to speak. So I felt some reassurance in that. And then, but some good that came out of it, too, was that she recommended that I get baptized. And so we went back to the church, and we talked to the pastor. And then we had a class that a lot of us kind of got baptized together then.
Nice.
Wow. Not so usual salvation.
Yeah. No, it's not.
And then
it's
a good point, because a lot of times what we do in the church, we say, well, you have to do this certain particular prayer, and it almost becomes like a mumble jumble type thing. It's like, okay, well, if you didn't do that, then you know, you skipped
yes,
a step, and
exactly.
Like say, so and it was the great discernment from your mother to be able to say, you know what, you love Jesus, there's a surrender there.
Yeah.
So that's great discernment from your mom, especially at a tender age like that. So that's awesome.
That's awesome. So now you get saved. You become this worldwide evangelist at 11 years old.
Not quite so much.
Okay. Sorry, I kind of filled in the blanks. Yeah. But so how did that just play out throughout your junior high school and high school years? And
no, actually, I had some time in my middle school years that I just was kind of not really being the good girl, so to speak. But really, and I still love Jesus, though. But when I went to right before I went to college,
where did you go to high school?
I went to Riley High
School. See, I knew that answer.
You went to Riley
too? It's my alma mater.
That's awesome.
Okay,
Anyway,
I'm sorry. You guys want a moment? You want to do the school song right now? Oh, my gosh.
Wave the flag for dear old Riley.
I knew you were going to get it in. I knew it. Okay, so you go to Riley college.
Okay. So I go to college, and there had been a guy when I was in middle school, not kind of doing so well. there was a guy that I was attracted to, and he had asked me to come over to his house for a birthday party, and I had said, well, I probably shouldn't do that, and the reason is because he was actually a black guy at that time, and my parents were very loving towards a lot of people and so forth, but I knew that they were they had me when they were older, so they weren't quite so – I knew they wouldn't be quite so understanding of that kind of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And right before I went to college, he had gotten in touch with me again and said, oh, where are you going to college? And so I let him know. And guess what? Who I get a phone call from then when I get to college. And so he had come up to visit me, and I was looking forward to it. And he was, like, always wanting to know, what are you doing? Where are you going? What's, you know, what's going on? And I thought, oh, well, this is kind of nice. I was flattered, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when he came to visit, just when I met him, I was really repulsed. And at the time, I thought, well, you know, he is not as good looking as he was. He's gained some weight, some stuff like that. I kind of thought that's what it was. But now I know it was really the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. in me going, this is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And just like sending up major flags that there was something wrong for me to proceed in a relationship with him. And it had nothing to do with his color. And but I knew, you know, I took him home to mom and dad. And, of course, they had objections before they even met him. So when they had their objections, this is what is so sad for – it was sad for my situation, but sad for a lot of people's situations, I think, where sometimes we get into a thing where I'm going to prove that having a in my case, a biracial relationship is okay. Mm-hmm. And so I went down this vein studying the Bible and just other things to try to prove this is an okay thing. Well, all while my parents went from going, okay, he's black or white, to this is not a good person. Mm-hmm. We're sensing things here. Not just my parents, but my family and even friends of mine were eventually saying, this is not right. And I had already kind of said, no, this is you know, I had kind of dismissed it from the deception of mm-hmm. they're saying it's a racial thing. And so I wasn't really listening. And then just as time went on, though, more and more things came up. He ended up being a very manipulative and controlling person mm-hmm. To the point where we had very few visits home to my parents. Mm-hmm. And then also even out to my friends. You know, it was just about work.
Very, like, isolation.
Yes, very isolated. Mm-hmm. Another big thing that's another big red flag for people that are in a relationship, and it's all about isolation. And so I was going to school and I was going to work, but then it was just me and him. And in fact, I had a friend that was best friends. We were best friends since I was like 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, let's go to the chapel on campus mm-hmm. and study together. And I was like, okay, you know. And so I kind of got permission from him, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
To go.
Control.
Yeah, a lot of control there. Got permission to go. So I go to the campus chapel, and we're in a room together. It's actually a prayer room, and we're studying and talking and catching up and stuff. And guess who shows up?
Way.
Yes. Yep. He shows up and he's like, we're leaving. You're coming. And it's like, I was with, you know, there was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that situation that I was in with my friend. And, you know, he took me away from that. So it was just a real time of just kind of me going through I see in Romans 1:18 and through the rest of the chapter there's a place where it says that we exchange the truth of God for a lie. Mm-hmm. And I know when I did it, because mm-hmm. I knew that I started to work out of kind of two separate sides of myself, where I was convincing myself I was going to marry this guy, so it was okay to be in a sexual relationship with him. We lived together. And I was like, well, it's going to be okay because we're going to do that. Where all the time, I knew inside. I mm-hmm. knew this wasn't going to last. I knew this wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And but I just put the facade up to try to convince everybody else, even though I wouldn't admit to myself that I did know that this was not a good thing.
Right.
So at the end of in the middle of my senior year, actually sometime during my senior year, I found out later that my parents had been to a prayer meeting, and there was a person there that was a very deep intercessor that just kind of went after this for my mm-hmm. after my relationship in prayer with my parents. Mm. And they just knew something happened and broke. And I can tell you, I don't know the exact date, but I know that season of my life, things started to unravel as far mm-hmm. as I realized, you know, I might have times of happiness with this person, but my joy was lost. The person, mm-hmm. I was a joyful person, yeah. and I wasn't joyful anymore, you know, during this relationship. I had lost that. I had gone out with a friend of mine who said, you know, I was going to get married to this guy, but then there's this and this and this. And I'm like, you know, I'm waking up. I'm like, wait a minute. She mm-hmm. only has like 5 things. I have a list of like 20, and I'm saying I'm still going to marry this guy, you know?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, hold on one second. Yeah. We have to go to a break.
Okay.
And I hate to even break in right now. Right. But I'm like, I'm at the edge of my seat going, and then what happened? But we'll be right back after these words, these commercial breaks, and then we'll be right back to hear more of this story. Just stay tuned. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Okay. So, let me ask you, who is doing the bookkeeping and payroll for your church? Is it the pastor or a very worn-out volunteer? Why not contact the experts at churchaccountingservices.com? We work within your schedule to make sure these important financial tasks are taken care of at a price you can afford and with no fuss. So contact us today at churchaccountingservices.com.
Attention all contractors, property owners, and construction managers. Are you looking for an environmentally friendly demolition service that will save you money while providing jobs to those in need? Then look no further. Jenka Services keeps you conscious while employing and training people who need jobs. We also offer finishing services like drywall installation and site prep work. So call Jenka Services today at 574-520-0225 and receive a free quote for your project.
All right. So now we're back from our break. And I know I left you all on a cliffhanger. Right, you're like, yeah. I don't want to hear no stinking commercials. Okay. So you're in this relationship. Yeah. Things are starting to unravel.
Yeah.
Someone's praying into this relationship right now, an intercessor.
Yep.
And things are starting to unravel.
Yeah.
And go.
Okay, so, and I guess a third thing that happened that sticks out where I had actually already decided that I needed to get out of this relationship. I had come back from a Christmas break, and when he was going to work, I was actually starting to go through all of our stuff and divide it up and mm-hmm. get my stuff separated from his stuff.
Wow.
And in the process, I found this article that the same lady who told me about salvation back in the Sunday school class
really?
That I wanted to get saved with, she had given an article to my family that talked about breaking generational curses.
Mm.
And so I read that article and I prayed it, and you know, and so it was just part of the, you know, the whole process. And so we went through that time, and I mean, I don't know how much detail you want me to get into because there's, you know,
right.
there's more I could go through with all of that even, but basically, I convinced him to take me home to my parents' house. He dropped me off. I finished the last half of the school year not living with him, but it was very, very traumatic in some ways because, as a lot of relationships goes that are manipulative and controlling, he still tried to have me come back to him and was actually kind of stalked me in some ways.
Wow.
And
a tremendous amount of courage then to stand up.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll go ahead and tell you too. There was a situation where, you know, I'm on the phone with my brother-in-law talking to him about some, you know, he had kind of helped me. Those of you who know Amway, mm-hmm. I was like, he was into Amway, and it was like a lot about hope and future and destiny. And mm-hmm. it was a lot of Christian people running it. My brother-in-law was Christian. And
so
he was kind of giving me some stuff that kind of helped me fuel my future, you know, mm-hmm. envision. And I realized I can't do that in this at the same time. And so I was on the phone and talking to him, all excited about that. And then I got this phone call saying, hey, you know, it was him. The ex-boyfriend, and he was crying, oh, my dad has cancer, and I'm just so sad. Will you come visit me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I gave in. And I actually went to one of my friend's doors, and you know how at college in their dorm rooms, they have things outside you can put on the whiteboard, and I wrote a note, and I said, if you don't find me in the morning, this is who I went with.
Wow.
So, yeah, and you know, I don't know, you learn as you grow, but that's where I was at. And so I went, and he wanted me to meet him at a gas station that was closed for the night, and I was starting to walk up to the door of his car, and I knew with everything inside of me, it was just kind of like when I first had met him, you know, this is not good, don't go.
Nah.
And so he said, or he's like, you know, wanted me to get in the car, and I did, and I got in the car, and he started heading towards a major city that was about 45 minutes away,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, where are you going? Where are you taking me?
Right.
You know, and stuff, And I think in his mind, he was probably trying to take me somewhere where he was going to try to encourage me to stay with him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hopefully that's the best case scenario I can come up with,
right.
you know. But in the meantime, I'm just like, and he was demanding, who were you on the phone with? And I was like, it doesn't matter who I was on the phone with, you know, because he had been calling for a long time and it was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it doesn't matter who I was on the phone with. And I would not answer that. But all I would do is just say Jesus. I would say Jesus, mm-hmm. Jesus, Jesus, mm-hmm. Jesus, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually... Backing up just a little bit before that, I had tried to decide Do I go visit him? You know, kind of, we were sometimes we're in between where, you know, it was kind of, as a lot of relationships go, they kind of break up in stages. And I was thinking, well, should I go visit him? And I just was like, you know, I don't have clarity of mind. I'm just going to say the name of Jesus over and again until finally I had clarity of mind and I knew it wasn't the right thing.
Yeah.
So here I'm in the car and we're heading to this big city. And I was just starting to say Jesus over and over and over again. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to get out of the car, actually. I'm trying to open the door of the car and trying to.
While he's driving.
Trying to let.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So he's like breaking the light so that people drive come this way can't see that I'm trying to open the door, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. There was some struggle going on in the car and everything. But so finally, after, and I just believe it was because of the name of Jesus. You know, I had just lifted up the name of Jesus over and over again. And I think that it was able to break through the atmosphere. And he finally just pulled over to a side road. And he got out and he let me drive. And he's like, you can take me to the police even, what, you know, take me to the authorities.
Really?
Huh. He did say that. And I should have taken him to the police. Believe me, I should have. But I didn't. I drove. But I did. What I did do, though, is instead of going right back to my car, I passed my car. And I went around the little town of our college town and to go back. But on the way, I went by the police station. I slowed down real slow. And he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Good.
So, yeah, scared him a little bit.
But the fear of God in
him. I didn't do enough, I'm sure. But anyway, I was like, I don't ever want to hear from you again. I don't want to see you. And I just went down this list of just leave me alone. And it wasn't the last time I saw him, but we don't have enough time for other things. But
that was pretty much the crux of closing things up. That's a traumatic experience, what you just mentioned and what you stated. And so have you been able to find – has the Lord been able to provide healing – because I do see a ring on your finger.
Oh, yes. I'm married to a wonderful man now. None of the junk
from
the past.
And so that, but that junk from the past, if it's not dealt with,
right.
There will be, if it's not healed, it's just like the same thing of physically,
right.
Yeah. I'm, no one can see this on the radio, but I'm hitting my hand right now.
Yeah.
It's hitting an open wound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so is there a point in time in which that wound began to heal?
Yeah, it was definitely a continuation of time that things happened because with the situation, I had times where I can tell you and have been confirmed that he had continued to like stalk me and and some things, and so I would drive around and think that he's in my
in your rearview mirror,
have no idea because I'm driving at night, all I see is lights. So it took some time. The one thing that for me, I did stay single until I was 35 then. And for me, part of that was the time for healing. You know, I just was convinced that, marriage is hard enough with two Christians.
Right.
That, I realized from that relationship, being married to somebody that was not a Christian is just not a good option because it's really difficult anyway. And then, but then I just, from this relationship, then I just knew I do not want to go back into anything like that at all. So I'd rather – I kind of went to another extreme, and which is, I don't want to date anybody, unless I know that they are a super quality person. And so I kind of – there was a book out about that came out, I think, about that time in my life called I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
I never read
that book, but I definitely was kind of like, kind of bought into the thing. Well, if I'm looking at a guy and he sneezes wrong, then he's not the right guy for me.
Disqualified.
Just
no marriage for you.
Right, exactly. So what that kind of does over a period of time is just puts up walls, stuff. And as far as the healing I can't tell you one specific time, but I can tell you that I went through some different things, like restoring the foundations is a real emotional healing kind of a thing. I did go through some counseling that, it covered some other things too probably in my life, but that was one of the things that I know definitely was dealt with. So I've gone through something called Redeemer's Key as well, and other, anything to clean it up, just whatever it takes, So So yeah, and then I had gone just kind of on the whole singles thing being until I was 35. I had gone to my roommate, and I actually had started interestingly enough, my roommate, it was my best friend from when I was 12 years old.
Oh, that my
we
gosh.
Were so we were roommates for 5 years. But we had started reading a book, or we led a group called Boundaries in Dating by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And in that book, I noticed that they said that they didn't really agree with the I Guess Dating Goodbye thing because some really good skills that come from dating. And so they recommended, make sure you're healthy, but then date with boundaries. And then I went to this thing called, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. It was a book that John not Henry Cloud wrote, and then he was recommending, you know, hey, get out there, get to know people and stuff. And it was interesting because I kind of went from having this kind of keep away from me kind of a feel, force field around me to, you know, I was looking and open and so forth. And actually ended up meeting somebody in my own church. But I just really believe that if I hadn't kind of made that shift, that, you know, a process from healing and then just, you know, shifting from, okay, don't be unhealthy with getting the healing and and so forth, to then being open to dating different people and so forth, and then meeting somebody in my very own church. That is just a wonderful man that I'm very, very blessed.
He is a great guy. Yeah. Here's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
We're already at a minute and 30 seconds left. So, this is what happens. We ask the Holy Spirit to have control. But I really believe your story will resonate and touch a lot of people.
It will.
Male and female.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so, Karen, I know now you've been involved with Revive Indiana and some other things. And now you and your husband have a ministry.
Yes.
So in the next minute, could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
30 seconds, actually.
Okay. Sure.
Tell us about that and how people can get in contact with you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with quenchingwaters.com is the website to go to, and it has more information. But basically, it's a ministry for biblical unity and harvest preparation, and it's basically advancing the kingdom through those two things. So we're just right now, it's still in the real developmental stages with some big, hairy, audacious visions down the road.
That's great.
But right now we're just trying to help people unify for biblically unify and also just prepare the harvest, prepare for that big time harvest that is coming. And the more we're unified, the more we'll be prepared to receive that.
Can you say that web address one more time?
quenchingwaters.com. It's also on Facebook under Quenching Waters Ministries on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Karen,
You're
for sharing
welcome.
Your story.
My pleasure.
I've known you a couple years now, and I'm still sitting there like, what?
Yeah, we never really talked about that.
I know, I never talked about that. Yeah. Wow. Maybe bring that up at the next barbecue.
Right.
Well, hey, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind doing the honors, could you just go ahead and close us in prayer? And please, everybody, remember to also hit us up on Facebook at His Stories Broadcast. And historiesbroadcast.com.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. Dear Father, I just give you praise that you bring us through. This is a journey, and you bring us through the joys in life and those in times in which are painful, and you're there. And so, Lord, may we just rest in your lap, knowing that you are our Father. And, Lord, I just thank you for Karen's story. I thank you that how you have provided a joy that has come through something that is very hard and scary, but you brought her through this. And it has been a joy just hearing her testimony of her faith in you and how you have walked her through it. Lord, I just give you praise. Lord, I ask that you would take these visions that her and her husband have and that you would just expand it and so that your kingdom would be advanced.
Thank you.
In
Jesus'
name, amen.
Amen.
You make us strong. Alone without you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at historiesbroadcast.com. That's historiesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.